Hey, good evening, everybody. It is May 23rd, 2022. Welcome to this edition of your, I guess, WWE Raw post show. And we'll get into some news. I am Don Tony, as always. I want to thank you for joining me tonight. I got to be honest with you, pretty shitty episode of Raw. When we break it down, it's very hard to dispute some of what we saw tonight. That ending to the main event, awful. We'll talk about it. If you didn't realize why I posted the graphic at the very beginning of the show, today is the 23-year anniversary that unfortunately Owen Hart tragically died at the Over the Edge pay-per-view. Yeah, I know. If you look around, it seems like a lot of people forgot. It's an anniversary that none of us like to revisit. You know, and we've talked about this before. That's one of those, you remember where you were, you remember what you were doing. In some cases, for some of you, you remember what you were eating, what you were wearing. It was surreal. It was very surreal. I got married originally on May 2nd, 1999. I got the marriage annulled a few months later, so it's erased from the record books. But I was in my place only 3 weeks, especially when you add 2 weeks of a honeymoon. I was back in New York maybe three, four days, and this went down. And awful. Still remember that night? What I remember that night is getting chill after chill after chill on my spine. Like every couple of minutes, that real deep chill just came back. And man, what an awful, awful anniversary. But, you know, the family here, we all care about Owen Hart's legacy. And I know for some of you out there, maybe you weren't even alive when Owen used to be in the ring, but one of the most genuine good guys ever to grace the squared circle. I know when people pass, as years go by, their legacy gets bigger. You go another 10, 20 years, and you'll have almost everybody saying, oh, Brian Pillman, if he didn't die, he would have been heavyweight champion. They do it already with Owen, and there's no malicious intentions, but anybody that lived through the Attitude Era, lived through what was going on at this time in 97, 98, and before this tragedy, Owen Hart was never considered to be heavyweight champion. No one ever really thought about it. You know, I think the only time that people actually thought possible is when he was feuding with Bret Hart. But, you know, as years go by, that seems to inflate as far as championship caliber. But one thing that does not get inflated, and that is the goodness that was Owen Hart, the lightheartedness, playing the ribs, just everybody loving that man. When you hear about it, talked about 23 years later, believe me, it is not exaggerated. If anything, sometimes that feeling wears away a little bit because so much time has gone by. Owen Hart was absolutely awesome, psycho, and we wanted to just give him a little shout-out tonight. So, how's everybody doing tonight? I want to thank you all for joining me here. I hope everybody had a great weekend. Summer appears to finally be here, especially on the Northeast. I have the AC going, so hopefully we can shut that off. I don't want any noise to interfere with the show. We have a few things to talk about tonight. Now, if you saw the preview or even on my Twitter, we're going to actually rearrange the show on Mondays going forward. May not be absolutely perfect tonight, but I think within a couple of weeks we will nail it. And basically going forward, Mondays will be 90 minutes, but we're going to divide the show into three segments. Raw in 30, news in 30, Q&A in 30. Because there's always follow-up questions, feedback, whether it's what I say, what you watch, news going around. So that's what we're going to do tonight. So we're 6 minutes in, so the first 6 minutes don't count. But now I will give you Raw in 30, then news in 30, and then Q&A in 30. This was something that we talked about quite a while back, but we never ended up doing. Now, obviously, we had some additional matches added to WWE Hell in a Cell. I want to clarify this right off the bat. I see a lot of people on social media saying that Omos and Bobby Lashley are going to fight inside the cell. There is nothing to allude to that whatsoever. If you look at the background, the cell is missing. If you look at, that's not good. That's good. If you look at Cody versus Seth, you see the cell in the background. Just because it's taking place at Hell in a Cell doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be in the confines of the cell. So I think some people are jumping the gun tonight. There's no confirmation whatsoever that they are fighting inside the cell. Anyway, how could anybody be confused after what went down? Because doesn't MVP have the stipulation? Doesn't he get to choose as far as, yeah. I mean, look, he gets to choose the stipulation. So if it's a Hell in a Cell match, the stipulation is already made. So why are people reporting that it's going to be inside the confines of the cell? I don't get that. We'll talk about that match. Even though the finish might have been crappy, I actually had to rewind it. And I was like, holy shit, they actually were spot on. I might as well bring it up right now. The end of the match. Now, for those that don't know, early on, Bobby Lashley, he comes out, he cuts a promo. He has an almighty challenge that he wants to present to MVP and to Omos. And he brings Omos and MVP out. And the challenge is that MVP takes on Bobby Lashley tonight. The winner of the match gets to pick the stipulation at Hell in a Cell. So what ends up happening, Bobby Lashley is basically handing MVP his ass. Bobby Lashley is outside the ring. The referee is counting to 10. At the count of 8, Omos charges Bobby Lashley. The referee does not disqualify Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley hits Omos, and Bobby Lashley unfortunately rolls back into the ring after the 10 count. Bobby Lashley is counted out. I saw people immediately on social media, why didn't the referee disqualify MVP? And then you heard Jimmy Smith say that the referee did not see Omos touch Bobby Lashley, and that's why he didn't call for the bell. And I rewound it, and I was like, holy shit, that's actually true. When Omos swung at Bobby Lashley, he missed. So because Omos didn't have any contact with Bobby Lashley, the referee kept counting. I know it's semantics, but technically the referee made the right call. So Bobby Lashley loses. MVP gets to choose the stipulation at Hell in a Cell. I wonder if it's going to be a handicap match. Because you know a lot of fans have been wanting to see Bobby Lashley get his hands on MVP. We got a little teaser tonight, attempting the Hurt Lock. I think MVP may actually end up doing that. You know, if that was me, I would say, Bobby Lashley, you have to have both hands tied behind your back. That's what I would do. But we'll probably get something else. Match was what it was. But that main event, oh my God, that was awful. You know, it's cool that we have Asuka in the main event 4 weeks in a row. And, you know, I want to make this clear, and I really appreciate a post that came in earlier from James. I loved one word that you said in this post. The word is a lot, because he said he loved my discussion about the current smoke and mirrors with a lot of women's wrestling. I made it clear the other night, Saturday night, I'm not talking about all of women's wrestling. There are a select few that obviously pull through. They do break the glass ceiling. But for the most part, a lot of it is smoke and mirrors. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But if you did not check out my episode on Saturday, when I go like this, check it out. the first 45 minutes gets really deep into how women's wrestling truthfully is viewed amongst all the big companies and why it will remain a male-dominated sport for the foreseeable future. Yes, it was cool to see Asuka 4 weeks in a row in the main event, you know, but man, what a shitty way to finish. Now, I got to give Becky Lynch credit. Not because of what she was wearing earlier, but if you didn't see it, you know, this picture is always floated around. Who wore it better? Jerry Seinfeld or Prince? Now, for my friends on audio only, I am showing the picture of Jerry Seinfeld wearing the white pirate shirt. And I think a lot of people still don't realize that Prince, when he was Prince in the Revolution in 1984, also wore a shirt almost identical. But forget it. You can no longer have this one-on-one poll. Why? Because Becky Lynch is now part of the mixed. Becky Lynch wore a shirt almost identical to Jerry Seinfeld's pirate shirt tonight. Becky Lynch, I know there's a lot of people that don't like her. I know there's a lot of people that really bash Becky Lynch big time. There's a reason why she was number two of the most criticized female athletes in the world last year. Number two. Not just wrestling, female athletes, period. And that's during a time when she had a kid. And she still was ranked number two, most criticized. You got to give this woman credit, man. I mean, she shows up today. Of course, she didn't have the green mist in her hair the entire week. But, you know, you can mix in a little bit of mist with makeup before the show. She shows up with green mist still in her hair. And she's dressed all freaky and everything. But she goes to Adam Pearce and she says, hey, Adam, you know, you should throw out the match last week because she cheated. She used the green mist. This is Hell in a Cell. It's for the Raw Women's Championship. And Adam Pearce says, look, I can't throw the match out, but I will give you a rematch tonight against Asuka. And if you win, you will be added to the Hell in a Cell match. Now, I know a lot of you out there, including me, had said for weeks it should be Asuka versus Becky versus Bianca. Becky Lynch never had her rematch against Bianca. I know rematch clauses are not supposed to be guaranteed, but yeah, I mean, WWE's pretty much gone back to that. But Becky needs to get that rematch. WWE does not want Becky to feud with Bianca Belair again. Once Hell in a Cell comes and goes, that's it. So by putting Becky Lynch in that match, you hit two birds with one stone. You give the challenge match that has Asuka and Bianca Belair. You add Becky Lynch into the mix of it. And you get Becky's rematch out of the way, and that's it. So we get the main event tonight. Bianca Belair, not on commentary, just sitting down. We realized later on, it's not because she can't speak well on the mic, but something was going to happen later on. They have the match, and you see, you know, Bianca lifting up her foot a little bit because she had, like, thigh-high boots, you know, I think that's what they're called, all the way up to the top of her leg. And she's like, you know, acting like, I hope nobody gets thrown into me. But what ends up happening is last week we had Becky Lynch get a little physical. This week it was Asuka. She goes for the kick to Becky Lynch. Becky moves out of dodge, and she wails, connects big time to Bianca Belair, knocks her on the floor. She is out. But here's where the awfulness came in. The referee is counting. And, you know, you got Asuka outside the ring. All she did just now was kick Bianca Belair. Asuka was not laid out on an announcer's table. She didn't get hit with any big finishers. She just kicked Bianca Belair. So what happens is, I think Becky Lynch was going to try to throw Asuka into the announcer's table. Something happened, and it didn't happen. Instead, she kind of like just kicked Asuka once. And then Becky rolls back into the ring at the count of eight. So now we're thinking Asuka may be counted out. And that would have been awful because there's no reason why she couldn't have just rolled back in. But she gets back in at the count of nine, and Asuka's laying on the mat. like she's half unconscious. You go back and you watch outside the ring, nothing happened for the be unconscious. So what happens? Becky Lynch does a fruit roll up, pins Asuka. Asuka just laying there. And Becky Lynch, what an awful finish. Because of the magnitude of what the stipulation is, you got Asuka in the back. Oh, big time, not big time Bex, big time baby. Ah, big time baby. Nobody ready for Asuka. Why do I sound like Miro? She's in a match to determine if Becky is going to be in Hell in a Cell. And she's laying there like somebody just hit chloroform in her face. It was freaking awful, man. What a sloppy finish to that match. And there was more. There was more tonight. But that's how we end up. Now, the beginning of the night, man, this is a little confusing. Now, you saw the thumbnail for tonight's show. This was something that we touched on briefly Saturday. Rams fan bringing up the topic. I reached out to someone to give me a little bit of dirt on this, and we talked about it yesterday, that WWE, before Roman Reigns drops these championships, they want to solidify his reign as one of the greatest in recent history. The people you see on the screen, Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes, Drew McIntyre, and Riddle, are all names that will be facing Roman Reigns. This is what we've been talking about the last 2 days. And we got some of that tonight. Now, Riddle coming out, it was really, really weird. Now, yes, the look on his face, as you could see, he is dejected. You know, we open up Raw, little repeat of what happened on SmackDown. Make sure that we see those little kids crying and all upset, which was beautiful. That is old school. They did a great job Friday. Riddle gets on the mic and he says, I'm here with a heavy heart. Here's my friend, my hero, my dude, my bro, paying tribute to Randy Orton. He says the last couple of weeks have been really hard for Randy. Randy, he's got back problems, and his back has been giving him a hard time. And last week before the match, he couldn't barely walk. But Riddle knew that Randy Orton was not going to let him down, because Randy knew how much this match meant to Riddle. And they also knew how much the match meant to the fans. Big Randy chant comes, breaks out. He gives props to the Usos for being one of the best tag teams, but he calls Roman Reigns a tribal piece of trash. Riddle, for some reason, is beyond incensed with a little bit of interference from Roman Reigns on Friday. And Riddle says that I assure you that I will get my revenge on the Usos, Roman Reigns, or anyone else who is part of the bloodline. He says that he loves Randy and appreciates what Randy has done. And he wants the crowd to chant as well for Randy, RK-Bro. But he doesn't know what the future is for RK-Bro. He doesn't know if RK-Bro will ever be a thing again. I mean, what if they would have won these championships? Yeah, I'm just saying in storyline, like they lose. You know, they lost the titles not too long ago. They lost the titles. Now it's the end of the world. And Riddle doesn't know. But he wants the fans tonight to yell one more time, RK-Bro. RK-Bro, RK-Bro, RK-Bro. And, you know, this is interesting because you might remember about 7-8 months ago, I said, do you think in the end when they split, Riddle turns on Randy? Because everybody said, you never trust the snake. You never trust the viper. Randy ultimately will turn on Riddle. And I think in the end, that could very well end up being the case. What happens if Randy Orton did not have any back problems? What happened if Riddle was lying tonight? I'm not saying that he is, but very interesting to almost tease that the team is over. Now, you know, in storyline, they will team up again. And then somebody will turn on the other. That's what it feels like it's going to happen. But here's the deal. This leads into what happened tonight. If you pay close attention to Riddle, very, very serious, very, very angry, and he said that he will give his vengeance to all the members of the bloodline. That is seed planted. And to answer, who said it? Somebody wrote it. Oh, here it is. Okay. This was sent in earlier from, drum roll please, Ronald. Of the four guys in the thumbnail, I'm assuming without Roman Reigns, who faces Roman first? And I think we may have gotten that answer tonight. On the household circuit, it's been Drew McIntyre. And it will remain Drew McIntyre until probably Clash at the Castle. But tonight plants the seed of Riddle versus Roman Reigns. So I believe that it will be Riddle to be the first one to take on Roman Reigns. But as I said once again, WWE wants to make sure that before he drops that title, both titles, that he adds some big names to his run as champion. Not saying the last 2 years haven't been great with him as champion, but as we've said before, a lot of those feuds, the outcomes were very, very predictable. Now you have Randy versus Roman. Hey, you don't know. Cody, I mean, we all expect Cody to be champion sooner than later. Same thing for Drew McIntyre. So that's what we have on the horizon for Roman Reigns. But the opening match tonight, Riddle and the Street Profits beating Sami Zayn and the Usos. Interesting point at the very end of the match, because we talked about it. I know we talked about it during the watch party on Friday, but we may have mentioned it on Saturday too, that the bloodline ultimately is turning on Sami Zayn. And who knows, you might end up getting Sami Zayn versus Roman Reigns as well, believe it or not. And I know what you're saying to me. Wow, 4 or 5 people, you know, that's an awful lot of people for him to feud with in a short amount of time. Yeah, because you throw in Money in the Bank, it's going to be one of those guys. Could be Sami, could be Riddle. Then you throw in, I don't know if he goes to Saudi Arabia. For those that don't know, WWE tonight announced that they will be returning to Saudi Arabia. Do I have the banner? I don't think I do. But it's November 5th in Riyadh. Crown Jewel will be returning this year in Saudi Arabia, Saturday, November 5th. We don't know the start time yet, but it's probably going to be somewhere around 12 noon, 1 p.m. Eastern. But you're going to see him burn through a few people until we get to those important matches where titles now likely could change. But we get a 6-man tag, and towards the end of the match, the Street Profits are laid out. They're outside the ring. They're sleeping. Riddle starts getting the upper hand. He gets both members of the Usos who get out of the ring as well. Then he gets the upper hand on Sami Zayn. He's knocked out of the ring. Riddle introduces Sami Zayn back in the ring with the DDT with his feet on the ropes. The Usos try to attack Riddle as they try to enter back in the ring, but Riddle turns around, and the Usos were like, man, the hell with this. They left Sami Zayn high and dry. So the Usos went to the back. Sami Zayn eats an RKO. Riddle pins Sami Zayn. And when we all thought that the Street Profits may be turning heel, now, we talked on the show that it wasn't happening, but there was a lot of people, the way they were acting a little bit towards RK-Bro, it was kind of heelish. Tonight, blah, blah, blah. You had the Street Profits blowing kisses into the crowd. Please forget any of the dick moves that we've been doing, playing RKO's music and doing little dicky things over the last couple of weeks. So the Street Profits will remain baby faces, obviously. Now, once again tonight, we get the countdown clock. And when Seth Rollins had his interview later on, he was freaking pissed off. Cody's got a huge ego. He's got his own countdown clock. He's got more fireworks than the 4th of July. But Seth Rollins says, I have a clock here, and it's ticking down second by second. Hey, Cody, what's going to happen when it counts down to zero? So Seth Rollins would come into play later on, because we found out tonight we were going to see, as you could see on the countdown clock, Cody Rhodes versus Miz. By the way, we were 90 minutes into Raw, and it was only two matches. They picked up the pace for the remaining 90 minutes, but for the first 90 minutes, it was just two matches. So, we get highlights of Becky versus Asuka last week. And then, another weird moment. I got to go back and count how long Judgment Day was in the ring, because we went to commercial. We had highlights of Becky versus Asuka last week. And then when they came back from the highlights, Dana Brooke is telling Adam Pearce, I don't care. I want Carmella when she is here. I want Carmella. And then Becky Lynch bumps into Dana Brooke. And you know how Dana Brooke, she can't act. So they exchange unpleasantries, and Dana's just like, you know, like, whatever. But all this is happening. And then you realize Judgment Day's music is still freaking playing in the ring. They went to a commercial. It had to have been 5-6 minutes. But Judgment Day is in the ring. Damian Priest, I don't know if you picked up on it, but Damian Priest cut Edge's promo from last week almost word to word. When Edge was calling everyone sheep, he even said it tonight. Edge is now calling the crowd sheeple, sheeple. Instead of people, and what do you get when you cross people and sheep? Sheeple. But Damian Priest tonight, all rise. Show the proper respect to Judgment Day. Edge showed us the way. We are free. You are all sheep. Did the promo exactly. Oh, WWE took note. Wow, the fans really were angry at Edge last week. Oh, we'll have Damian Priest say the same thing. The difference is for Damian Priest. What? What? You're all sheep. What? You're all sheep. What? Damian Priest says, the universe lacks courage to be what you are. That we can't help you until you help yourselves. Rhea, once again, with the part-time promo, Liv, stop listening to the peasants on Twitter. Stop listening to the simpletons in the office, in the audience, excuse me. You could save yourself by joining Judgment Day. And then Edge finishes it up. He trashes the crowd, and he's telling everybody, hey, you know, we're not done. We want to add members. He said that if you join Judgment Day, you will headbutt the glass ceiling like he did a decade ago. He name drops Tommaso Ciampa, which everybody's talked about, Finn Balor, which everybody's talked about, Alexa Bliss, Drew McIntyre, Corey Graves. He's just name dropping names, and he says, what about AJ Styles? He says, AJ, make the right choice. Join us, and maybe your kids could start calling me Uncle Edge. The choice is yours. Choose wisely. So what happens tonight? We get a mixed tag match. Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley beating AJ Styles and Liv Morgan. This is a match that's been going on a house show circuit to tighten it up a little bit. The match was okay. Basically, towards the end of the match, and here's more awfulness. Here's more awfulness. Liv Morgan hits a high knee on Rhea Ripley. She goes for the pin. Go back and watch it, please. Edge puts Rhea Ripley's foot on the rope. Liv is in shock. Edge, how could you do that? But what happens? You see AJ Styles running around the ring, and he lays out Edge. Then he goes in the ring and starts brawling with Damian Priest. While all this is going on, Liv Morgan is on her knees in the ring, watching everything. You could have given her a bucket of popcorn. Rhea Ripley is laid out. They're the two legal people in the ring. And Liv is just on her knees watching everything going on. Oh, wow, this is fun. So she tries to get the upper hand on Rhea. She throws her against the ropes to hit her with another high knee. This time Edge gets his, you know, gets his legs back. He pulls Rhea Ripley, grabs her, so she stays on the ropes. Liv goes down, Rhea with a fruit roll-up. And after the match was over, Rhea hits the riptide on Liv, Damian Priest, Edge. They lay out AJ Styles. Take note, no Finn Balor music. No Finn Balor save. I know somebody may say, oh, he's on a promotional tour. Take note, even the announcers didn't mention Finn. Where are you? Crowd was chanting for Finn. Didn't happen. Miz with a promo early on. Don't trust anybody with a neck tattoo. Veer Mahan, this was awful also. I'm sorry. I gave it all the hope for Veer Mahan. It's salvageable, but it really is going rough right now. Jerry Lawler does the King's Court segment with Veer Mahan. First, we're wondering, is WWE going to allow Veer to speak English? So Jerry says, what's your secret to success? Veer doesn't answer. Oh, fuck, he's going to play the, I didn't mean no speak of English. Jerry Lawler then says, you know, what's your problem? You know, what do you have to say for what you did to the Mysterios? No answer again. So now Jerry being Jerry. Hey, I heard the Mysterios are talking about you. They said you're so hairy when you walk a dog. Somebody pets you. Then Jerry's trying to crack more jokes, and Veer is like, stop with the jokes. This is not joking. Hey, Jerry, do I smell fear? And Jerry's like, no, that's my cologne. Oh, God, it's so outdated and awful. And Veer is like, how's about I show you who I am? And Jerry's like a little nervous. And I'm like, look at this, another 73-year-old going to get a bump in the ring. The Mysterios come back. Veer tries to throw Ray over the top rope from outside the ring. And Veer is a little bit short. He can't get Ray over the top rope. So he had to just roll him up from under the ring. It looked kind of awful. He tries to lay out the Mysterios. The Mysterios end up making him go out of Dodge. It just, you know, the crowd was happy to see the Mysterios. But it was awful. It was awful. Alexa Bliss, she's going to face her former best friend, Nikki A.S.H. She is fed a line. You know, Nikki and I were best friends before. But now, Adal is my best friend, and Nikki walks around dressed as a superhero. And there was an awkward pause. I guess WWE thought that there was going to be a pop tonight, and there was no reaction whatsoever. Alexa Bliss says Sonya Deville should seek some therapy for everything that's happened to her the last couple of weeks. It does wonders. So Alexa Bliss beats Nikki A.S.H., who has Doudrop by her side. Nikki A.S.H. actually put on a decent performance, but Alexa Bliss gets the upper hand. Twisted Bliss, it's over. Nothing happens after the match. Doudrop is not mad at Nikki. I mean, you know, during this match, I will point out, Corey Graves mentioned that they were supposed to be in the main event last week. Corey Graves brought up again that Sasha Banks and Naomi relinquished the tag team championships and walked out, and they disappointed the WWE Universe. This time they did not use the word unprofessional, because that word unprofessional was a trigger word amongst the wrestling industry. You should all know that by now. So, but, I mean, they're going to do a tag team tournament. Some people think that Nikki A.S.H. and Doudrop may actually get those belts because of the fact that Naomi and Sasha expressed displeasure about facing two people that were in that match last week. And a lot of people don't think that they were talking about Becky Lynch and Asuka. Now you have Nikki tonight. Crap. Garbage. Cody Rhodes takes on The Miz once again. It ends in disqualification. Seth Rollins comes out. Now, early on before the match, Cody Rhodes gave his belt to a kid at ringside. I don't know if they told the kid that they're going to use the belt, because the match was going on fine. Seth Rollins shows up, attacks Cody. Bell is called, disqualification. It's over. Seth beats up on Cody, throws him in the ring steps. Miz joins in on the fun. And then Seth is walking to the back. And the little kid that got the belt earlier, he had it like hanging up, like a little bit visible, almost looked like he was holding it up, you know, expecting to be taken away. So Seth takes the belt away from the kid. He whips Cody with it, walks to the back. Cody limps with the belt back to the kid, hands the belt back to the kid. It was a nice segment, but it looked like they may have said, like, look, you know, they may use the belt. Let him use it. Don't worry about it. Little kid, but it was, you know, it was what it was. Ezekiel versus Chad Gable, another awful, awful match. What happens is Kevin Owens is at ringside. He refuses to do commentary because of Byron Saxton and the way he keeps insisting that this is Ezekiel, not Elias. Kevin Owens keeps reminding Jimmy Smith that this his name is Ezekiel. So what happens? Otis, early on in the match, distracts Ezekiel. Chad Gable gets the upper hand. Otis tries to do it again later on in the match. The referee sees Otis. You're gone. Otis, as we have pointed out, the new trend with WWE, nobody makes it to the back anymore. They don't even go halfway up the ramp. You could count to 20 after somebody's ejected and the match is over. Otis is ejected. Before anything, Kevin Owens hits the ring to try to attack Ezekiel. The ref sees Kevin Owens. He ejects KO as well. KO and Otis was still pretty much at ringside. And what happens? Ezekiel with the fruit roll-up win. Kevin Owens is incensed. He gets on the mic. I don't care anymore if your name's Elias, Ezekiel, or Giuseppe. At Hell in a Cell, I want your ass. So they're going to be fighting at Hell in a Cell. So we already talked about Lashley and MVP. We already talked about the main event. That was your episode of Raw tonight. Wow, we did it in 31 minutes by 1 minute. Not bad. Not bad. Look, this had the makings of being a decent episode of Raw, but there was so much slop. I mean, there was at least three or four matches that the ends were just awful. The Ezekiel stuff looked cheesy. The women's main event, Asuka, look, I love Asuka. A lot of you love Asuka. It's awesome that she's back. Go watch the last 90 seconds of that match. That was pathetic. It was awful. And then you go back and you look at, you know, The Miz and Cody, and you look at the MVP stuff with Lashley, even though Lashley, you know, Omos didn't actually touch Lashley, but the whole thing was just, I didn't like tonight's episode. And I'm not trying to be an asshole here, but I don't think they were down in the dumps because it was the anniversary of Owen Hart passing away. I know that sounds a little bit cold, but I do not put that as an excuse. So, and even the Riddle stuff, you know, I thought that was just a little bit over the top. You know, like, doesn't know what the future is, you know. Anyway, main event results from tonight. Commander Aziz over Akira Tozawa. Apollo Crews over T-Bar. Ratings from this week, I got them here for you. Pretty decent numbers when you look at it. SmackDown hyping up this unification match, even though we thought it could very well be a no contest. It went up to 2,031,000, 7% increase. Rampage, moving to 7 p.m., went up 20% to 410. Impact Wrestling dropped almost 5% to 119, and that was with the heavily advertised Briscoes in the main event. Dynamite last week went up almost 10% to 922. Impact last week went up almost 13% to 601. Last week's Raw went up 5% to 1,736. Pay attention to that, because that's two or three weeks in a row that Raw's had some nice increase. That's 10, 15% when you think about it. Rampage, I believe, is going to be on early this week, and I've been saying this for a few weeks now, and I really believe this. I really think AEW has got to try to convince WarnerMedia to put Rampage on at 7 p.m. Friday nights from now on. I know for some of my friends on the West Coast, you don't like that idea. It's 4 o'clock. I'm not home yet. But the thing is, I think more wrestling fans would watch Rampage at the 7 o'clock hour than the 10 o'clock hour. especially fans that don't normally watch Rampage. You have SmackDown coming on at 8 p.m. Even if you're not an AEW fan, you advertise a good main event. Yeah, with some former WWE stars, and fans that don't watch Rampage know that, hey, you know, let me watch the final 15 minutes of Rampage. I'm going to watch SmackDown anyway. I think Rampage could be a real good lead-in for SmackDown. I truly believe that if Rampage moved to 7 p.m., you give it 4 to 6 weeks, they will score some of their best numbers, you know, outside of, you know, the obvious CM Punk debut and others. So a little bit, we will do some Q&A. Right now, we were going to talk a little bit of news. And by the way, in case you're not aware of it, tonight's episode is sponsored by Manscaped. They were so happy with the feedback from last week that we are back again with it, and we have a product alert. The Ultra Smooth Package, it returns once again. And later on in the show, I will give you a brief rundown and overall synopsis on how you could get this for about $30. And believe me when I tell you, I'm not only a plugger, but I'm also a client. And the Ultra Smooth Package, very, very cool. 85% of people surveyed feel that it's a turnoff when their partner, you look down there and it looks like tumbleweed. It looks like you're in the woods. It looks like a bad episode of Forensic Files where you hide bodies for about 50 years. There's so much brush down there. All this does is clean everything up. Nicey, nicey. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. Unfortunately, they don't sell hair dye, though. So if your Manscaped down there is all gray and ragged, well, even more of a reason to probably get rid of the brush, you know? Psycho's like, what the hell? All right, I want to thank everybody for all of your research. I didn't even ask for it, and some of you were very kind to help me with this, and I got some answers for you. And it's kind of disturbing. And this leads to a little super chat that I got early today from Lascelles. My thoughts on the reports claiming that Hulk Hogan will be Ric Flair's opponent at StarCast 5 in July. Hulk Hogan. I'm going to be honest with all of you out there. You know, this, I don't want anything bad to happen to Ric Flair. And look, he's obviously too old to be in the ring. The health conditions, people are nuts to take that chance. He's done so much in his life for wrestling, he just needs it one more time, all right? So like I said, I look at it like an old-timers game. I have went to baseball old-timer games, and people were playing baseball at 70 years old. They couldn't do anything, but you knew what you were going to expect. But a really weird interview came out with Ric Flair talking to TMZ, and this will lead into some of your research about the Tennessee State Athletic Commission. Oh my goodness. Ric Flair says that he found He found a doctor that said that he could do it. Now, the problem is, I don't think your everyday doctor really knows what it entails with a wrestling match. You know, maybe he told them, look, I'm not leaving my feet. I'm just going to be brawling. I'm going to do this. Maybe he showed the doctor the footage of him and Jay Lethal. I think that's very possible. But Ric Flair tells TMZ that he spoke to a lot of doctors, and he found the doctor that said that he's cleared, that he should be okay in doing this match. He says he's got no pain. He's got no aches. But he feels it's not about money. It's one more shot at glory. Just one more shot to walk that aisle. He says, and this is where it gets bizarre. It gets bizarre. And I'm going to put a picture on the screen while I read this. This is from the discussion we had 2 or 3 weeks ago. The Hulkamania tour in Australia about 10 years ago. What was it, 2011, around that time? So as you're watching this fiasco of Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan brawling 10 years ago, keep in mind, this is before Ric Flair was clinically pronounced dead. This is before Ric Flair is what he is now, unfortunately. Ric Flair says that another reason why he wants to return to the ring, quote, "I could not stand the last couple of matches that I had." He says he's been training with Rob McIntyre from John Cena's gym. He says that the matches he had 10 years ago, he cannot stand them. He feels he'll never be 100% ever again, but he'll be running at 80 to 85%. Now, I ask all you in a very sincere way, sincere question. You look at this picture of Ric Flair versus Hulk Hogan from 10 years ago. If Ric Flair thinks he is 80 to 85% now, what the fuck was that 10, 11 years ago before he had all these health issues? What are they going to do? I mean, if you go back and you watch this, all they did was brawl and bleed. What is Ric Flair going to do now? Brawl, bleed, take a back body drop, couple of chops? So, first of all, to answer Lascelles' question and anyone else, I don't think there's a chance whatsoever Hulk Hogan will be wrestling Ric Flair. Because, for the simple reason, that Ric Flair cannot duplicate what we saw 10, 11 years ago. And if he takes on Hogan, Hogan has the spinal Hogan has the same spinal stimulator that I do. I can't take back bumps anymore, even if I wanted to. He cannot do anything off his feet anymore, Hogan. He had so many surgeries, he can't do a leg drop. What's he going to do, a leg drop onto a mattress? So if Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan face each other in StarCast 5 in Tennessee, the only type of match you could possibly get is this. And you're telling me that they're going to be better now than what they were 10, 11 years ago? Look, TMZ, because they want the interviews, because they want the people to come back, just like Tony Khan with Busted Open, you know, he gets away with saying some very stupid shit. There's no follow-up questions because they want him to return. You know, TMZ lets Ric Flair get away with this shit. Again, I applaud his love for pro wrestling, that he needs to do it one last time. But believe me when I tell you, I guarantee there's a lot of people in different sports who just didn't have it anymore or got too old. And no matter how much they felt it up here, they were still unable to do it. And nobody would give them the platform. Now, some of your research out there, the Tennessee State Athletic Commission, this was a question that some of you have asked me. Can the Tennessee State Athletic Commission block Ric Flair from wrestling? And the answer is no. The Tennessee State Athletic Commission does not regulate pro wrestling. They regulate boxing, mixed martial arts, and other sports. They do not regulate wrestling. Makes you wonder why a lot of this crazy, over-the-top, beyond believable, hardcore stuff that you sometimes see, why Nashville or Tennessee is not the nucleus of that type of fighting. Because the State Athletic Commission does not regulate it. So even if Ric Flair walks into the building, oh, no, no, I'm just excited. No, 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 it's the adrenaline. No, I feel great. Woo! You could have the Tennessee State Athletic Commission right there, and they don't do a damn thing about it. That's, I think, the reason why Ric Flair is even having this match. Because it just so happens it's in Tennessee. That's how the stars aligned, everybody. That's exactly how the stars aligned. Oh, Tennessee? Oh, will you look at that? The State Athletic Commission doesn't regulate it. Ric Flair could find a 90-year-old. Go right ahead. Fight Zach Gowen. Fight Zach Gowen at 73. You know? Just fight someone who's comatose. I know that's ridiculous and over the top. The point is, if you think there's anything that's going to stop Ric Flair from having this match, the only way it stops is if some health complication comes up beforehand and people are made aware about it, and then it goes into the hands of Jim Crockett Promotions and Conrad, who I am a big fan of. But if something comes out that Ric Flair has had a setback or there's some serious issues and they go forth with it anyway, you know, I see all these quotes, oh, Ric Flair would die in the ring. The fuck does that mean? You know, you, just because he wants to die in, oh, go right ahead. Go right ahead. Kill yourself. You don't give somebody the platform like that. But he found a doctor that said that he's good to go and he'll be 85%. I expect it to be a street fight similar to what we saw with Steve Austin. I really believe that's what we're going to get. We might see some prop set up, so if any bumps are taken outside the ring, that it will be a little bit cushioned, which it should be. But if it looks too choreographed, it's going to look ridiculous. If people mocked this so bad 10 years ago, why wouldn't they mock it worse now? Why, because they feel bad for Rick? Because they feel bad? Because he misses it so much? At 62, people were ripping this shit apart, and we're not supposed to rip it apart at 73? Clinically pronounced dead a few times? It's not that we don't want to see Ric Flair ever again. I loved watching Ric Flair growing up as a wrestling fan. But you know, that doesn't mean that, oh, yeah, let him do it. So there's your answer. Tennessee State Athletic Commission is probably going to do nothing. Absolutely nothing. Let's see what else. I'm going through the list. Wow, we went through a lot of news. Oh, okay. I know some of you have been waiting for this because I got a couple of DMs. Oh, DT, you're full of shit. You see the title for tonight's show in the synopsis. I said WWE is still selling Sasha Banks and Naomi merchandise. And it is true. I'm going to show you an example right now. Now, let's make this clear. The amount of money, royalties, that these wrestlers get on shirts is very, very tiny. You're talking cents on the dollar, pennies. You know, she could sell it. WWE could sell 1,000 Sasha Banks shirts. How much money do you think she's going to get? It's tiny. So them pulling the merchandise off of WWE shop was a public message, a public fuck you to Sasha and Naomi for walking out on the company. Anything that could be publicly expressed, with that, and I'm not defending WWE here. I'm telling you why they did what they did. They didn't do that with Steve Austin in 2002. We have already talked about that. But WWE is still selling their merchandise through all their third-party outlets. For example, right here, I'm going to show you. This is live right now. This is the WWE Authentic Wear Store. If you look over here, it is sold from WWE Shop. It is shipped from WWE Shop. You could buy Sasha Banks and Naomi merchandise right now on Amazon. This is WWE shirts. You see the logo right there? You see it? Now, you go down here, you see all of these Sasha Banks shirts. We'll click on one because I know what somebody to say, oh, DT, no, those are 500 level. Those are not WWE shirts. What are you trying to pull on us? Well, that is the 500 level shirt. And if you look on the neck area, you see the WWE logo. If you look over here, it is officially licensed by WWE. And yes, that is shipped from 500 level. If you look at it close, you see the WWE logo in the neck area. But my point is, if you go to Amazon and you look at the WWE store, they're still selling the merchandise. If you go and do a Google search for Sasha Banks merchandise and then click the shopping category, you will find WWE selling through other outlets as well, where it is shipped from WWE. Now, look, if anybody's going to say to me, well, maybe WWE didn't have time yet to pull all this stuff, it's not that hard. I mean, yes, WWE Shop on Amazon is a much bigger store, but I used to sell stuff on Amazon, and it's literally four clicks. And anything Sasha Banks and Naomi, they could make hidden from the store. Unavailable, 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 unavailable. So WWE pulling the stuff off of the website, that was done more as a, you know, as a symbol than anything else. But everywhere else where WWE is the shipper, the drop shipper, they're still selling merchandise. So it's not a loophole. It's not a loophole. WWE, any shirts that sell, they get royalties, these wrestlers. But again, you know, I don't know if any wrestler would reveal to any of us how much they get. I mean, I've seen some of the royalties from other promotions. The one most recent is when Killer Cross was legally going after Impact Wrestling. They owed him royalties. And I've brought this up before. Killer Cross sent me his actual legal papers from his lawyer, and he showed me the statements. I saw what Impact Wrestling owed Killer Cross. And honestly, look, I am fond of Impact Wrestling now. I am a fan. I want to see them succeed. I root for them. I enjoy a lot of their product. But a couple of years ago, the shit that they did to that guy, it's embarrassing. The amount of money that we were talking about was so small, it was laughable. But it's also an education on how much money these wrestlers make on shirts. Believe me, I tell you, it's pennies. It's pennies. Even if it's 10, 20 cents a shirt, you sell 1,000 shirts, what does that come out to? $200? So believe me, WWE, you know, yeah, they can hold the royalties as well. They can withhold everything. Why would WWE not want to sell a $30 shirt and give Sasha Banks or Naomi their 20 cents? You ask yourself that. Isn't that WWE shooting themselves in the foot? Sure. But it is more of a symbolic thing, that what you did is unacceptable, unprofessional, and it's also a scare tactic. We finished up, I think, Saturday show with this. The WWE right now is sending a message to their roster. You think you're going to do what Sasha did? You know, Jeff Hardy did something. Ali, you know, walked and cried on social media and said, you think that you could just walk out and get yourself suspended? This is what we will do. We will do this, this, and this. If we would do that to one of our biggest selling merchandise sellers, can you imagine what we'll do to you? And this is why I always say, I know CM Punk means well. I know a lot of wrestlers mean well in what they say, but the ones that are the most outspoken are the ones that already made their money. They're the ones that are already at the top. So it's very easy for them to tell Sasha Banks and Naomi, you stand your ground. Everybody should get behind you. What about the wrestler that is all the way down here in the food chain that can't afford to lose any royalties, that can't afford to do this stuff? So WWE right now, and again, I'm not supporting it. I'm not on their side. I'm just telling you facts. This is all symbolic by WWE. And I expect something to change soon. I do. I think this is just them sending a message to the rest of the roster right now, and then they will go back. Because believe me, I guarantee you, Sasha Banks and Naomi, like, pull the merchandise. You're just fucking your fans. You're just pissing your fans off. So, you know, they're not hurting necessarily Naomi and Sasha. I expect this to change soon. Soon. All right. What else do we want to get into? There was something else. I'm looking. We got into a lot of news already. Wow. All right, some previews for this week. First of all, for NXT, we have Indy Hartwell taking on Mandy Rose. I believe it's non-title, and even if it is for the title, Mandy Rose is getting the win on this one. Duke Hudson is definitely fighting Bron Breakker in a non-title match. There's no way that Bron Breakker is going to lose to Duke Hudson. I don't even expect Joe Gacy with some interference or distraction. And I hope they reveal the Druids tomorrow. They better be some really recognizable names, because if not, nobody's going to give a shit. Nobody's going to give a shit. On the AEW side, this is their three-year anniversary show. And we have Toni Storm versus Britt Baker in the Owen Hart Foundation Tournament. The winner of that match will go to the final. Samoa Joe versus Kyle O'Reilly. The winner of that match will face Adam Cole in the men's side of the Owen Hart Foundation Tournament. We have Sean Spears versus Wardlow in a steel cage with MJF as the special guest referee. FTR will be defending the Ring of Honor Tag Team Championships against Roppongi Vice. We got a face-to-face with Hangman Page and CM Punk. And we have a three-way, Ricky Starks versus Swerve Strickland versus Jungle Boy. That is their three-year anniversary show. Looks good. Definitely looks good. We will talk about it on Thursday, part of the Q&A episode. Little congratulations. You know, we did not have a winner last week for the AEW gift card and the Sting autograph photo. So that's a little too small. That's better. So we did it during a watch party last week, and it was guess the Rampage rating. And Naya, and she is a longtime friend of the show. Naya, she actually predicted 410,000. That actually was Rampage's rating. She nailed it. She was perfect. So, Naya, if you're watching this, and I will repeat it tomorrow in the NXT watch party, you win your $50 AEW e-gift card, and you win this autographed AEW photo of Sting. And I want to thank the gentleman from AEW who sent me a couple of Sting photos. You know, I was voicing out that AEW never sends me anything to give away on these shows, and I got a nice little envelope about 2 weeks ago. And very, very cool to that person. He knows who he is. So I don't know if he's tuning in tonight, you know, but he does tune in once in a while. So we're about an hour, so we're right on schedule. So before we take some questions to finish tonight's show, once again, tonight's episode of your Don Tony Show, Raw Post Show, is sponsored by Manscaped. And as I had plugged last week, they have beautiful grooming products, mostly for men. That's why it's called Manscaped. Some of these skin soaps, you know, can be used unisex, but it's primarily for men. They have various packages on the website. And the one that I wanted to plug tonight, it's called the Ultra Smooth Package. You go to this website, it's a pisser. Because they will tell you point blank, your balls will thank you. Basically, it's a site for grooming, for your face, for your hair, for your nose hairs, for down there. And the Ultra Smooth Package is items that will help you groom down there. Now, they have something called the Lawnmower 4.0. I kid you not. The Lawnmower 4.0, it's a handheld razor. I have it. And it's got a plastic, blade inside to prevent any cutting. Because if any man has ever used a women's shaver, especially used one, our hairs are much thicker than a woman's, even on the face. By the way, you see, I'm growing might be growing the beard back. But so it's not recommended that we use women's razors. But the lawnmower, basically what it does is it trims everything down. But then you get the Ultra Smooth Package. You get the Crop Exfoliator. It is a soap. And you wash down there, because behind that hot mess of bush that you have, there's skin. And it removes dead skin. It makes everything nice. It opens up the pores. Everything. I know this sounds a little uncomfortable, but hey, you know, you're not going to do this on a spectacle. You're not going to live stream, look, everybody, I'm shaving my balls. You do this in the privacy of your bathroom. You get the Crop Exfoliator. You wash down there. After you wash it down there, you get the crop gel, and that makes everything nice and soft and ready. And then you use the crop shaver. It's a razor blade. It comes with six blades, replaceable blades, and you just shave down there. But I recommend using the Lawnmower 4.0 first, because if you're like, you know, some people out there, you go down there and it's like this, you take the lawnmower, you trim it down to here so you only have a little bit, and then that's when you use the other items. And then it's up to you how far you want to go. Do you want to go infant skin, or do you want to have a little bit of a launching pad? If you go to their website right now, Bandscape.com, you enter the promo code DONTONY, you get 20% off of anything in the store. That package I just told you, if you put in the promo code, not only do you get free shipping, but you get all that for $29.99. Doesn't break the bank. And then they have some other packages there. I actually, no joke, when it arrives, I'm going to show you. I bought for my dad for Father's Day. I bought him this package that has like hair, gel, skin, shower wash, deodorant, a few things. You know, just overall grooming. And trust me, my father's not going to be insulted. It's a cool package. And between the sale price and the 20% off and free shipping, I mean, my God, it's a $225 gift for $99. You can't go wrong. Go check it out. And if you do buy something, seriously, let me know. Let me know how you liked it. Just don't show me pictures. I don't need to see, hey, DT, did you see how it came out? Look, look, it really was good. I don't need to see that. Thank you, Manscaped, for believing in this show. And we also believe in your product. Love this stuff. So, all right. So we are exactly, if you minus those 6 minutes, we are exactly 1 minute, 1 hour and 2 minutes. We spend 31 minutes, Raw in 31, News in 31. So now it's Q&A in 31. So all, no, we don't need a demonstration, Navon. No, thank you. If you have any questions for me, anything from Raw tonight, any follow-ups for anything we spoke about, all I ask in the chat room is, before your question in capital letters, write the word question so it stands out and I could spot it right away. Before I do that, King Bling Blah, what are the odds Tony Khan buys WWE when for sale? Too much money. Tony Khan has billions of dollars. But the thing is you don't want to take half of your savings investment and put it all in one company. If something tragically goes wrong, you know, AEW is different, though. AEW is an investment that even if, think how ridiculous is this, even if Tony Khan lost $1 billion in AEW, when you realize the guy may have $10, $12 billion, I don't know exactly how much he has. Let's say he had $10 billion. If he lost $1 billion in AEW, he would still have 90% of his savings. That's why AEW ain't going anywhere. But at the same time, though, Tony Khan's not going to buy WWE. It's and not only that, you know, this is a guy that just got into the wrestling business a couple of years ago. You'd think someone like that should own a company this big with the commitments overseas and all of that? No, you can't. That's why it's not as easy for somebody to come in and buy WWE, because the size, I don't think people understand the size of this company. It's not just, hey, we got five people working behind the scenes, and Cody, you just get up and leave. You have a Cody leaving WWE and you don't replace them, you got a major problem. And if your investors start thinking that there's a problem with your company, let the stock go down 20%. You see how quickly you see some wrestlers getting fired and you stuff. Oh, Tony Khan, best thing that he ever does is not buy WWE, and that's not because of a threat, because of AEW. So, Nero Faye, super awesome birthday gift. His wife is about to give birth to a second baby girl. That is awesome, Nero. Happy birthday. Congratulations again for beating the C word. That is awesome. And, you know, I know your wife had some COVID complications and a couple of the other things. So, you know, and for everyone out there that doesn't know Nir lives in Israel. And if you follow the news, you could see how much unrest there is with Israel and, you know, the Palestinian, you know, neighbors, I guess you could call it. Very good people on both sides that are trying to make peace. But in the midst of all of that, you know, he's trying to enjoy life. And he's a wrestling fan. So, props to Nir. All the best to you, brother. All the best. James loved the discussion about smoke and mirrors. as I said earlier, with a lot of women's wrestling. Khan definitely looks the worst out of everyone, even though Vince screwed Sasha and Naomi. After 3 years and what Tony Khan has said in the past, I think it comes a time that some people need to make some follow-up questions. That response he gave to that podcaster, Ella J, I think her name is, Ella, and she's what, you know, early 20s, maybe 20? She might not even be 20. And for him to go after her that hard, and all he cared about was the money he paid for the women to perform in NWA, and he brought up a couple of times that NWA, people should have acknowledged more that he paid to have those women come in. You know, that's sometimes your most honest reaction is one that you don't get a chance to think about beforehand. That's why I hate interviews that are typed, because what happens? The author sends the questions to Tony Khan or a wrestler, and the wrestler sits there and could think about it and think about it and think about it and type it and answer it and send it back, and there's your interview. I said if I ever interview anyone, it'll never be a text interview. It'll always be vocal. Because if I do have some challenging questions to ask, I'm going to ask them. And when the wrestler starts turning into an audible version of Michael J. Fox, that's where you got him. That's where you got him. I don't like this, you know, that people could think about what they want to say and have the perfect answer given back. Hell no. So, all right. I think we got all in all the super chats. All right. Hanging out in the chat. Let's see what questions we got over here. I'm looking. Like I said, just write the word question before your question. Roderick, who does Bianca face at Money in the Bank? News. And good. I'm glad, because this was something I wanted to mention tonight. I teased it on Saturday's show, and I removed it. I teased it for tonight, and I was going to remove it again, but I might as well bring it up. You want to take this as news? Fine. Nobody's going to report it. Nobody reports anything that we ever talk about here that ends up being true, because they don't want to give us credit. They want to have their credit, and then they tell everyone. Lacey Evans. Right now, WWE is thinking about reconsidering Lacey Evans' immediate character future. With Sasha Banks and Naomi both out right now and not opponents, you know, especially Naomi for Bianca Belair, that's two big baby faces. Sasha Banks obviously was not part of Raw technically, but because of that, WWE is reconsidering turning Lacey Evans into a heel. I personally think it still happens, and I think Lacey Evans will likely be the one to face Bianca Belair at Money in the Bank. I think that could very well happen. Maybe a rematch with Asuka. That could happen too. But Lacey Evans, I'm not saying that she's going to remain a babyface right now, but I could tell you from someone that I trust, that I talk to, right now WWE is thinking about keeping Lacey Evans as is, going into the 4th of July, going into, you know, the most immediate future, and then they can revisit that. So, you know, look, we don't sit in the creative meetings. Nobody online sits in the creative meetings, and I guarantee you nobody online texts Nick Khan, Bruce Pritchard, John Laurinaitis, Vince McMahon. So when people claim this creative stuff, they got nobody sitting in there. The only person that might be sitting in there is the person like, would you like another bottled water, Mr. McMahon? Would anybody here like a cold beverage? Can I clean that up for you? Is there anything else, sir? May I go home for the evening? That's the only person that they would be talking to in a creative meeting. So we don't know for sure. But as of right now, WWE is reconsidering Lacey Evans with the turn. We will see. Might be just delayed. So, but I say Lacey Evans versus Bianca at Money in the Bank. Gabriella, good evening. Where do I see Cody's gimmick going towards the end of the year? Same as what's going on. Same as is. The question is, does someone get involved in their match at Hell in the Cell? You know, Brock Lesnar is going to be returning soon. I don't expect Brock Lesnar to get involved in the Seth Cody situation. But somebody may have to get involved because they have to segue Cody to someone else. I mean, don't get me wrong. We all love the feud with Cody and Seth. But this isn't 80s or 90s wrestling where two people could feud for an entire year. Cody has got to move on. And by the way, I want to make this point out too. How awful was it that Ali suddenly disappeared? After all of the bullshit that Miz was giving Ali the last couple of weeks, Miz is taking on Cody today. I brought it up yesterday. I thought, hey, maybe Ali comes out and maybe helps make the save for Cody. You know, they could have done that. When Seth and Miz were beating on Cody, Ali could have come out, maybe holding a chair and chases them off. And they could have done that. But, you know, it just feels like, you know, with the Ali stuff, man, I mean, that kind of turned sour. But they got to shift away with Cody. The question is who. But I think Cody, it's not broken. No need to fix it. So I think Cody, you know, will be fine. I think eventually he does get into a feud with Roman. A lot of people think Cody could win one of the briefcases. And sure, that could happen. And Cody could say, I could cash in whenever I want. I don't think Cody needs a briefcase. He could win the Royal Rumble. He could just challenge Roman Reigns. You know, there are number one contenders. You know, number one contender doesn't always have to happen because of a briefcase or a battle royal or an elimination chamber. So I think you keep Cody as it is, but they have to obviously have him feud with someone else. I would love to see Kevin Owens interact with Seth again. And maybe Kevin Owens goes at it with Cody. I'd love to see Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes feud for a little while. And I honestly think those two guys would love it as well. You know, we got a little tiny teaser not too long ago. Give me a full-blown feud. I'd love to see that. Okay, moving on with questions. Rams fan, who is the legend attraction this year for Saudi Arabia since no Undertaker and no Goldberg? Now, I'm not going to be one of those to say Bret Hart. You've heard Bret Hart, very bitter, doesn't get the payday in Saudi Arabia. You heard CM Punk say that about Bret Hart. Which is very interesting because you would think that why would you want to see someone get a payday in a country that people feel are murderers? Like, why is it blood money for everyone else? But if when it's a beloved wrestler that never got the payday, you say, oh, that person, you know, how awful is that person never got the Saudi payday? What are you saying? You know? So maybe Bret Hart, could he do something? Would he do something? You know, look, if you remember week and a half, 2 weeks ago, when we heard Ricky Steamboat versus Ric Flair, if I have to pull up the clip next week, I will. I said point blank, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Ricky Steamboat turns it down because I think the last memory he wants everyone to have of him in the ring is against Chris Jericho. That feud. You still got it. You remember that conversation. Anybody could look at the synopsis. I said that 2 weeks ago, and it ended up being true. Does Bret Hart have enough, even if he just brawls? You saw what happened with Steve Austin. Do I think Steve Austin would work in Saudi Arabia? No, I think the WrestleMania match is it. Even if Saudi Arabia opened the floodgates to pay for Austin, I don't see that. So, Bret Hart, maybe, but I will tell you this, doesn't have to be a legend anymore. You don't have to have a legend in Saudi Arabia. Brock shows up, Undertaker makes an appearance locally, not wrestling. Do not immediately think that a legend has to perform. And I would not be surprised if no legend performs this year. Ken, terminated by DQ, says that I am ignorant because Kevin Owens faced Cody before. I just said 2 or 3 minutes ago that we had a little teaser of Kevin Owens and Cody. We had a match, but it wasn't a feud. I want to see them have a full-blown feud. Chang Tao Patai Madupa Yang Yao Ya. Guste Michael Bona. Diste Cody Rose El Stesta Kevin Owens. Makabiste. Maybe it's un po de pew, but they're about to boost the bar. What fucking English do I have to say it so you understand? I said we got a little taste of Cody versus Kevin. Not a physical taste. I want to see more. Ken knows I'm just fucking around with him. So, Chain Pow! Right? Or I can do the Mexico. No, that's Japan. Let me see. Okay. We're going to wrap this up. In about 7 minutes. Wow, we're going to end up doing 30, 30, 30. I used to love watching the old Japanese matches and wrestling from the 70s because there was one announcer, and I'm not making fun of them. He would always finish his statement with, hey! He would say, WWS, Ric Flair, hey! Stan Hansen, hey! It almost sounded like a football player. 24-53. Hi. Say it in Sicilian. Hey, I want to see this motherfucker Kevin Owens get in the ring with Cody Rhodes. You know what I'm saying? You know, those two, they kind of met up and they kind of had a little bit of a, you know, a little kiss over there. Maybe a little peck on the cheek. I want to see them go full blown in the bed. I want to see them tear each other wide open. I want to see their assholes get ripped. Rip each other. I can't do that spur in a moment. I can't. When I think about it, it's horrible. Thoughts on Hell in a Cell card so far? You know, MVP, it could end up being MVP and Omos versus, please do not give me MVP announces that the stipulation he chooses that he's a special guest referee. I do not want to see that. But Omos versus Bobby Lashley, it is what it is. We can hope for the best. You know, they did overperform at WrestleMania Backlash. Seth versus Cody is money. Becky versus Bianca versus Asuka is money. I'll be fine with that. Ezekiel versus Kevin Owens, it's not bad. I think Ezekiel's been doing fine. WWE posted funny video today. If you haven't seen it yet, go to their Twitter account. They posted video of Ezekiel who claimed to have a text message exchange with Elias. And you actually see, like, the top it says Ezekiel's older brother. And, you know, Ezekiel's like, I'm about to hit the ring, my first match. What did you think of my match? And you see the conversations going back and forth. But what they didn't tell you, but you look at the very end, is like the last 7 texts are all Ezekiel. And if you look closely, it looks like Elias just stopped talking to Ezekiel. It's hilarious. You got to look at the Twitter. They've been doing some funny stuff on Twitter with Ezekiel. All right. Let's stop bringing this home. Charlie, watch the movie Goodfellas. That'll answer the questions. Okay. I get to check a new independent wrestling company. It's called Did I Check Deadlock Pro Wrestling? I have not checked it out yet. I will be more than happy to check it out. I'm always looking. I tell you the truth, Thunder Rosa's Mission Pro Wrestling, it's pretty good. I tell you, you know, we were talking about sponsorships on Saturday. I wouldn't mind if maybe we do a vote on our site and who, you know, do you all want to sponsor in a match for Mission Pro Wrestling? I mean, we don't have that a big of a list to choose from. But if you all want us, you know, we do a vote, you all want to sponsor someone that's going to wrestle for Thunder Rosa's group, we could do it. I'd be happy to do that. So, you know, I'll take a look this week and I'll see, you know, the next event and who's available and we'll do a little vote, you know, a little way to give back. You know, I think that's a little more creative than just buying a shirt or giving away some merch and stuff. All right. We got about 2.5 minutes left. Let's make it good. Let's make good. Okay, I see something with Sasha and Naomi up here. Do I think it was ironic what Damian Priest said about the WWE superstars waiting in the back for instructions, given what happened with Naomi and Sasha, who went against those instructions? No. The wrestlers themselves, you know, they may not agree with the way Sasha and Naomi handled this, but they still support their fellow man and fellow woman. And I don't think any wrestler there really wants to be part of taking shots at either woman. I know Corey Graves, you know, said what he said, you know, last week. And I think Corey, I don't think Corey himself, I think he was relaying what he was being told what to say. And I kind of felt bad for Corey Graves because I don't think Corey Graves, you know, was really trying to, you know, label them as unprofessional. Like if he did that on his podcast or if he went on a rant on social media afterwards, then I would say otherwise. But when people were really going after Corey, I think Corey probably went back to manage and say, look, I don't want to get dragged into this shit. So I kind of felt bad for Corey a little bit, but this week they changed a little bit of the wording. They removed the word unprofessional, which I think was the right way to go. Look, when people have a falling out, the immediate reaction is usually hard. I mean, it's happened even here with me. You know, it's happened probably with you. You know, could be work, a relationship, a friendship. You know, when you have that immediate falling out, you know, people are all different emotions, upset, angry, depressed, disappointed, pissed off. You go through all different emotions. And WWE, you know, the people behind the scenes, especially Vince, I think Vince took this very, very personal. I think he really got his feelings hurt. But, you know, from what we hear, the promises that were made that were not kept, you know, I can't blame Sasha and Naomi, especially Sasha, to be pissed off. Would I have gave the belts back and walked out? The only way I would have done that is if I quit. I give the belt back and I say, see ya. That's it. I walk out the door. I don't come back. You know, that's why, you know, when somebody fucks someone over, even with me, when someone burns a bridge with me, you know, they burn that bridge, you know, unless it's, you know, longtime friendship. You know, then it's like, no, that's it. The bridge is burned. We ain't revisiting that. Sasha and Naomi, especially Sasha, when she gave that belt back, you know, you go all the way. All right, I'm out of here. That's it. I'm done. I'm not coming back, period. End of story. It's over. I don't know. We don't know. But I will say this. That guy that's friends with Naomi that said he didn't want all the social media attention, oh, he sure is having orgasms with all this conversation he's having with people. Because every time somebody throws a jab at him, he tries to add a little dirt. Oh, you didn't hear from me, but they walked out hours before Raw. This guy's looking for a hand job here. You know, that guy is loving the gossip right now. I'm not into that gossip. So, all right. By the way, no update on Stephanie. No update. She is spending more time with her kids. I don't want to speculate what the situation is. I will tell you that Triple H is back. And, you know, their kids are getting older. Their kids need their parents, especially when they thought that they could lose their father. So I think Stephanie, in my opinion, and I have nothing to back this up, I think Stephanie, it comes to a point when you have your kids at home and there's so much going on that it comes to a point that you have to put some extra time aside for your kids. You only get to see your kids grow up once. I don't think there's any health issues with Stephanie. I don't think it's burnout, but I think that with Nick Khan there and some others there, I think this was probably the best opportunity for Stephanie to take some time and focus on her family. And if that's the case, that's a good thing. That is a very good thing. So WWE should not drop the women's tag titles. If you do that, it's a step down in the perception of women's wrestling. I mean, I know we had that serious conversation Saturday, but just think about people out there. Oh, you have men's titles. Why don't you have women's titles? You can't take away the women's titles. You should improve the women's tag team division, but you can't take away the titles. You put that out there, and they push for, you know, equality, especially people online. You take that away, but yet the men have two, even though it's unified right now, that would not go over well. Just improve the division. They got so many talented women there. Should not be that hard. It's just the problem is they're not going to level it out 50-50. They see Asuka, they see Charlotte, they see Ronda, they see Becky, they see Bianca now, they see Asuka, you know, Bayley when she comes back. You know, you have all those women. Hey, why do we need anything else? So you put 3-4 matches together with 8 of those women, 10 of those women, you don't need anything else. So it really depends on how serious they take the division. Well, anyway, I am done for tonight. Don't forget tomorrow from 8 to 10 o'clock, we will have the NXT Watch Party. Last week, we had an awesome turnout. We had so much fun, especially Santos Escobar versus Tony D'Angelo. Towards the end of that match, you would have loved, and I'm not exaggerating, you know, I was talking like Goodfellas, like storyline. I was like, no, the crowbar cannot be there. No, Legado's got to be, you're looking for this motherfucker? And everything that we were laughing about the Druids. I still think it's a grizzled young veterans. I said, if WWE really wants to impress me, let that be Scott and Rick Steiner under the masks. But it's not. Because if you look at the fingers, they look too good. You know, with all the arthritis, with all due respect, those two wrestlers have, their fingers look like Mr. Spock's. They're like all like twisted and swollen. Broke my heart when I shake Terry Funk's hand about 10 years ago. I was hanging out with Daphne in Long Island, and we stopped by a convention, and Terry Funk was there. I said, I got to come in and say hello to Terry. And I shook his hand about 10 years ago, and I swear to God, his pinky was the size of my thumb. I thought I was grabbing like a gorilla's hands. It was all swollen with arthritis. If you ever look at Terry, why do you think Terry Funk says he doesn't really want to sign anymore? It's not just maybe, you know, some issues up here. You look at his hands, it'll break your heart. And he's not the only one. There's a lot of wrestlers, the arthritis. Oh my God. So tomorrow we will have the NXT Watch Party. If you're a part of our Patreon family, I will be live on Patreon at 10:05. We will talk about NXT. It's an off-the-cuff episode, so I'll be getting into everyone who submits questions tomorrow. And then I'll be back here on YouTube and online Thursday at 9:05. We will do not only Q&A, but we will do predictions for AEW Double or Nothing. I got an interesting feedback about the CM Punk stuff. More and more I think about it, I think Hangman Page is going to beat CM Punk at Double or Nothing. I think it's happening. But we'll do predictions on Thursday. And I'm leaning towards doing a recap Sunday night. The only thing that's stopping me, you know, there's going to be 5.5 hours when you think of a pre-show. I mean, it's going to be a long. And I don't know if I want to be up till 3 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday night. The only reason why I think I'm going to do it, though, is because Memorial Day is Monday. And even though I know a lot of people have to work still, I only have to go in for a couple of hours. So maybe I set my alarm clock late Monday morning. But all right, everybody, hope you have a great night. Post your feedback. If you enjoyed the episode, smash that like button. It is very much appreciated. And if you have a follow-up question or a comment, post it in the comment section. Everyone notices, you know, the last week I've been getting back to everyone. I'm still about a day or two behind, but I am answering everybody. And yeah, any questions, post it there and I'll be more than happy to answer them. So thank you everyone for the kind words in the chat. Hope everybody had a great time tonight. Really, really lackluster Raw with some awful finishes and some really questionable matches. On paper, it looked strong and then it just went downhill. So hopefully we salvaged it with a fun little show here tonight. And either I'll see you tomorrow, watch party, or Patreon, or both. And if not, Thursday, 9.05 p.m. right here. Be well, everybody. Have a great night.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now, that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.